The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to assess you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Permian Basin International Oil Field Spectacular. It's the Permian Basin International Oil Show. All right, we had to do, when you're doing it live, nothing ever goes wrong. Here with the City of Odessa, Texas Mayor Javier Hovind. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the third try here as we continue to kick off the show here at the Echo Center Coliseum.
Yes. The Ector County.
Coliseum.
Named after Ector County and Odessa, Texas, Ector County.
Well, we'll have to find out maybe about that later. But first, we want to make sure that we bring the mayor in to find out how the great city is doing here. Give us an update. What's happening here in the lovely city of Odessa?
Well, before we do that, we have a gift that we want to be able to present on behalf of the city of Odessa. Welcome to the Permian Basin Oil Show.
Thank you.
Welcome to the podcast party here for the Permian Basin International Oil Show. And so welcome, and I hope that this is a start in the beginning of a great relationship. And
thank you for everything you've done to support the Permian and West Texas. You're fans of the Crude Life. Well, I thank you very much. Let's see what we got here.
And promise it won't pop out at you.
Are you filming this?
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on. Can you hold on to my mic for just a second?
Of course. Nothing but cooperation.
Five-year warranty, man. Fort Worth.
Javier, you need two mics?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of hot air. There you go. A likeness. There you go.
Looks just like
Walmart.
The guy from The Princess Bride, I think. Either way, we'll take it. The mayor from Stranger Things.
There you go.
Look at that. Well, thank you very much.
Of course,
right. In fact, I'm going to put that over on my side.
Yeah. I got to get me one of those.
So that I'm responsible. Oh, I appreciate that very much. And thank you. And first of all, I want to thank you for inviting us down here, inviting the show down here. And talk about the impact that this show brings to the community. I bet it's just an economic stimulus.
Well, it always is. You know, the countless of hundreds of thousands of dollars, the entire, all the spectators, the exhibitors, and everybody just attends the oil show. This is a three-week setup, you know, from electrical, from transforming this from an ice rink to the countless events that we have here at Ector County. The staff does an incredible job transforming this, and it takes a three-week process from build-up to break down. And we have to do it throughout the October because we're ready for hockey right at the end of the month. And so the economic impact, the hotel, motel tax, the restaurants, everything, this is huge. I know there's been talk, you know, at some other time about moving and changing it, but we bend over backwards because we are the heart of the energy sector for the entire world, for the entire United States and Texas. And so there's no better place than to have the oil show here every 4 years.
Now, I've had some very smart people that I trust a lot tell me that 70% of the drilling over the next 20 to 30 years is going to come out of the Permian. And that's an incredible statement to make, but the more and more I see how the technology innovates and the regulations come into play and a few other things, boy, it certainly seems like that's starting to be the path. Talk about the impact of energy in your community.
Well, you know, the thing is that this is our bread and butter. And we have learned to embrace that we are the epicenter for energy. You know, and so the debate will go on about renewable energy, and the thing is that it's making an impact. But what sustains us and what will propel us and maintain us will be fossil fuels. And so it is, everyone here in the entire Permian Basin is in the oil business, as we say here, because it's all directed. You know, it's a trickle down and a trickle up economy from the oil industry. It is transcendent for the reason is that everyone from around the world comes here to the Permian Basin, so that dynamic is something that it's always evolving and we're dealing with. And the technology is happening, having the first remote drilling rig being put out here. It has been incredible. So the thing is that we always have an eye to the future and always have an eye to new technology that will be able to transform and maintain this industry here in the Permian Basin, because this is where the the resources are. And so you can't you can't pick up and move that anywhere, anytime, so or ever. So we'll always be that epic center.
One of the things at the Crude Life that we like to say is that the oil industry is upstream, downstream, midstream, salmon stream, trout stream,
exactly.
Because the cafe owner is just as important as the roustabout at the end of the day.
Yes.
And the flower store is just as important as the middle manager at Chesapeake Energy. And they'll tell you the same darn thing, is that the community is what makes the industry, not just the oil company, so to speak. Like, I'm in the communication business, but technically, I'm in the oil business, right?
Correct.
And there's a lot of truckers that are in the transportation business.
Correct.
But the only business they get is the oil and gas industry. So that's one of the things we like to say is the salmon stream and the trout
yes.
stream. And if there's any other field and streams we can throw in there too, because it's so diverse. 94-95% of what we use on a daily basis involves fossil fuels, including this really cool bobblehead. And it's a challenge to educate people
mm-hmm.
when emotion dictates over fact right now.
Yes.
Are you having any issues out in the world outside of the Permian with people? The Midland mayor said he was kind of getting a little set up by the media sometimes, and he'd get some scowls when he went to other places and everything. Are you experiencing anything along those lines being from Odessa?
Well, the thing is that what out in the field you have a diverse workforce that comes in and out. I've only had one incident where I had a young man who was working in the oil field in the survey, and I have a surveying services company I just sold out. And so this young man was from Austin, and we were speaking, and so he was doing surveying out in the oil field, and he was complaining about how fossil fuels and drilling impacted the environment and how he was against it. And I just listened to him, and I said, But here you are cashing the checks. And I said, so, how do you stand by that? He immediately quit right after that, but that's about it. You know, the thing is that you do have people that have their opinions, which they have every right. Everyone has a right to their opinions, but the facts are the facts is that, we impact the environment, but one thing that the oilfield industry needs to do better is communicate how we have cut emissions, how we our impact on the footprint in the environment is very little to small. And so when you go back out there and we wind up completing a wellhead and things of that nature, it goes back to being natural. And you witness it. So the thing is that we're leading the industry in being environmental friendly. And we'll continue to do that. And that's one thing that we communicate. As people start coming in here, start seeing the industry at work, they start realizing and start changing their mind. But we have to be, as an industry, be better at communicating that.
Amen. I tell oil companies all the time and energy companies, the midstream, upstream, salmon stream, you name it, get out there, tell your story because somebody's telling it. So get out there and tell your story
yep.
because you are the leaders
yes.
in the environmental innovation world. If you look at the last 150 years, humans have been decarbonizing on their own. We started with hay and wood,
yep.
and then we went through coal and whales. We almost extinct whales. We wanted
yep.
energy so bad. And then we went to coal, and we went to
water conservation,
crude oil. We're down to natural gas,
yep.
which has 1 to 4 of those dirty carbon molecules,
yeah.
which is the building block of life, by the
yep.
way. Carbon
yep.
is the build.
Yep.
I do get concerned that we're going to turn carbon into the boogeyman for our next generation
yeah.
of kids,
yeah.
And so anyway, but humans have been decarbonizing for 150 years, long before the Sierra Club came along and long before Greta Thunberg came along. And that's not a knock on the Sierra Club, and it's not a knock on Greta Thunberg. They're just jumping on a movement that's been happening.
Yep.
And so I do believe industry needs to stand up and tell their story. And thank you for doing that today.
Well, we've even partnered with Pioneer, and they will be able to take some of their wastewater and treat that, and they'll be able to use that as a renewable source to be, put it back in the industry. So we have become innovative in how to resources for the city, new revenue streams to be able to lessen the impact on the tax base, on the taxpayers, but also assisting and allowing where we can conserve and renewable in water that can be used back in the industry. Or, one of the things that we realize out here being in the desert is that water is a precious resource. And so some of the innovations that we're doing, and this is something that the industry really needs to put out in the forefront.
Now, thank you very much for the interview.
What comes to Odessa is that we are the tip of the spear when it comes to energy. We are tip of the spear for drilling. We're in the tip of the spear of innovation, conservation, and we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to support the old industry and its innovations. This is home, and it'll always be, and you'll always be welcome.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. It's what you don't say. It's like a pretty red Cadillac with no brakes. It's like a girlfriend lying through your bold face. I'm just a side chick laying down a cold case. You were singing my praise, singing I'm magic. And then you turn back, oh baby, what happened? Cause that was all in the minute I found you.
Folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep, a good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Welcome once again to the Permian Basin International Oil Show. Spectacular here at the podcast party brought to you by the Wireline Group. My name is Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and we've got the Texas Railroad Commissioner Jim Wright with us here. And this is part deux from our interview earlier at the Shale Energy Resources Conference in Midland, Texas. So look at, we got the Twin Cities taken care of here, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thank you for having me back on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming out here today, and I'm glad that we're recording this time. So thank you for coming out, and how is your stay here from Austin all the way here to Odessa? How's it going?
You know, I enjoy the trip out here. Of course, I'm fortunate that I have my own airplane, so it's not that far for me to come. And I'm out here often. You know, I think this is kind of the heart of where our natural resources are being created. And if you're going to regulate that industry, this is kind of where I need to be more than not.
You know, one of the first year stories I did up in the Bakken was on aviation travel. How the aviation travel has gotten so economical for a portion of the upper middle class, really, at the end of the day, which allowed the facilitation and the lubrication of the Bakken to happen, because a 7-hour drive for a president or CEO, that's really hard.
It is hard. You know, I've had the good fortune of owning my own airplane since 1992, and I have my own businesses, so you know, it's really valuable at the end of the day when you can get to where you need to be and get back and get on other issues. And I think that's really important when it comes to the Railroad Commission.
Time is money, and time is very valuable. So I appreciate your time here today. Mm-hmm. Let's get an update from Austin, Texas. As companies go into their annual meetings and get prepared for 2022, what's the number one thing that they should know, and just a couple other things you think?
You know, I think all companies today are going to continue to focus on the ESG activity that they've been faced with. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that investors are demanding more of a return on their dollar from our industry also, the oil and gas industry. So I think those are going to be the main two focuses as we look at moving forward, not just in 2022, but probably in the upcoming years past that. You know, but I can also say that given that realm and the way things are with that, we are making great improvements. I think investors are seeing better returns today, and I think technology is just increasing tremendously. As you can see around this show today, there are a lot of new technologies out there that are really addressing some of the concerns that the American people and Texas people are having when it comes to our impacts on the environment.
That's what attracted me to this industry, was that the environmental innovation that's been going on You know, humans have been decarbonizing for 150 years, long before the Sierra Club or Greta Thunberg came along. Mm-hmm. They just jumped on a movement that's been going on. Mm-hmm. Hay, wood, whales, coal, crude oil. We're down to 4-to-1 natural gas carbon molecules. And I do like to do the Planet Service announcement that carbon is not the boogeyman. It is the building block of life. And I worry about kids being told that carbon is the boogeyman, you know, type of a thing. And that's another topic for another day.
Well, you know, what I can encourage kids to do is when you look at how that campaign has been against carbon here the past few years, all I can do is encourage them to follow the money. You know, when you look at the other side, the other alternatives that we have that they say will replace carbon, those are so heavily tax subsidized. And that's where I ask everybody that has those concerns. I said, you know, just look at it closely and follow the money and see where those tax subsidies really end up, and you'll be very discouraged. When I look at CO2 and all the things that surround that, you know, CO2 is something that's in our atmosphere. It's what our atmosphere is made up of. I think we're going to change in that CO2 volume, whether we were producing gasoline and burning gasoline or natural gas. That's something we're going to deal with as a human mankind. So, you know, when we look at reliability and consumer pricing, right now that technology lies in fossil fuel. Not that I don't think that there'll be other sources such as wind and solar that will get there one day, but right now it's fossil fuel that provides pretty much everything we do in everyday life.
Well, since you're here, and I'm going to call an audible for just a second, because we don't normally get political on this program, but the one political stance we have made is that wind energy needs to be completely redone. And the reason we say that is the crude life truly believes that the Amish farmer is more advanced with wind energy than we are right now. Meaning they can in one day with their neighbors put up a windmill and they can actually power a pole barn if they're the Amish that do energy and they can get water. That's pretty darn good for one day's of work, and then the wind takes care of the rest, and you're not using all these things that cannot be recycled. No reclamation program, all these different things, and so
I couldn't agree more, as long as the wind's blowing.
That's amazing that I can get somebody of your stature to agree with my crazy statement that the Amish are more advanced than we are in wind energy.
But you know, but when the wind doesn't blow, they're not going to be drinking any water. So that's some of the things you've seen happen to us here in Texas, especially last February. You know, we discourage reliable sources today with those tax subsidies. And I think that Texas did realize back in February that we've got to get better at making sure our reliable sources are there. We've got to set a level playing field so that they're encouraged to come in and provide those reliable sources. Not only reliable sources, but better pricing for the consumer. When you follow those tax subsidies that I mentioned earlier, those tax subsidies are really costing our consumers in the price of electricity way higher than any fossil fuel sources.
Well, I come from the printing business originally, you know, so I understand sunk costs. And it's almost like the solar and wind energy are sunk costs now
there
by
is.
The government. Mm-hmm. So they can't make any new decisions without rectifying those costs, just like the printing business had to do with printing presses.
That's right.
And so I see a lot of parallels there. And so, by the way, I do think that the solar industry, as soon as we get the terawatt of storage figured out, they'll have a chance in the marketplace.
As long as that pricing is good for the consumer.
The
that's the issue right now.
Yeah.
I have not seen batteries that are really something that's going to come up and provide a consumer price that people can afford. But will technology get there? I think so in one day. And again, I'm not against all sources of energy. I just want to make sure that it's reliable and it's cost effective for the consumer.
And to kind of illustrate the commissioner's point is that wind and solar have been getting subsidies since the 80s, and they've been the ones setting the benchmarks that they have not been hitting, and they get more subsidies for not hitting the benchmarks. So that's not even a political statement.
Yeah, those subsidies really provide their profitability. And when you look at what happened in February and how our ERCOT system is set up, ERCOT essentially goes out on a daily basis and says, okay, electrical provider, give me a price for tomorrow's electricity. Well, wind and solar can pretty much put that on the grid for free with those tax subsidies. How do you encourage fossil fuel, reliable sources, to even provide electricity onto the grid? How do you compete with free?
Very difficult, and it's very difficult to do projections when people say we're making money on wind and solar and they're not including the actual subsidies. I'm talking about city governments.
That's
things
right.
like that, where
That's
they correct. Just leave that out of the equation when they yeah. say, hey, look
Nobody
at this.
Nobody ever talks about that that Never. I hear of. It's always, you know, wind is free, sun is free, so we ought to embrace that. Well, that's not the truth.
Well, the Honorable Jim Wright with the Texas Railroad Commission, I do want to ask you about Frackleberry Hound. This is our stray that we got at a reclamation site. Of course, we have the Earth Championship belt here to go with it. Johnny Green's not here today. Johnny Green let us use the belt because he goes across cleaning and Johnny Green in people's minds. Strong mind to stand up in energy today. Frackleberry Hound is a Chesapeake Vizsla. Now,
yes. I haven't heard of
you're
that
a big
one.
Dog lover.
I am a big dog lover, and I looked down at him earlier when I came up here, and he looks like my chocolate lab that I have at home. His name is Mac, and he's obsessed with going and fetching things. So he's been my dog now for 10 years, and he's getting older, and he's getting to where he's not moving so well. So I try to keep him down, but every time he hears a shotgun going around, off around our ranch, he's ready to go.
He's ready to go, yeah. huh?
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
The Crude Life with Jason Spies.
You remind me that I'm not in control. I'm out of control, man. You know, I think that I'm better alone. But you're keeping me open. And what I see, and even something they don't, you already know that.
Right now, we're going to the fold line where we've got Dr. Natalie Simpson with University of Buffalo. And I apologize because I did not write down your exact title. I just wrote down that you've got an emphasis in supply chain crisis management and just crisis management in general and supply chain. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Huntington Beach oil spill, as well as maybe some refineries either catching on fire or down Hurricane Ida still has, I think, one or two refineries offline. So talk a little bit about that supply chain. But let's start off with the Huntington Beach oil spill and what's happening there. First of all, Dr. Simpson, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Jason. How are you?
Appreciate you coming on here and talk a little bit about this issue, because kind of our little bit of a pre-interview before we got on this interview, we were talking about some of the changes happening in the supply chain, or at least some of the changes, I guess, that have come to light through this. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, crisis is where I'm from, we have floods all the time. And so we get our emergency management staff stressed, you know, every other year or every third, fourth year. So we're constantly going back and saying, okay, did this process work and this process work? And just kind of before we get into some of the ins and the outs, I did want to kind of mention that we were talking a little bit about some of the changes happening here, but talk about what your position is, what your concentration, your education is when it comes to, you know, like an oil spill or a refinery or something like that in regards to the supply chain.
Well, my actual area of research, I would operations management, of which supply chain management is a sector. It's just the It's just the phrase that you hear in the news all the time. And my research specialty and my passion is specifically emergency response, which is actually different from crisis. Because crisis is the period before something's about to happen where, you know, whatever it is, you're getting some sort of hint it's about to break. Whereas emergency response, it's react. Okay, what are we doing now? What are we doing next?
Good point.
And so that's kind of my focus.
So let's talk a little bit about the reaction that's happening. So, you know, a lot of times you have obviously different levels and different stages when it comes to emergency response and crisis management and these types of things. And, you know, looking at the California one, just the reports I saw early on is that there was a notification by some residents on a Friday, Saturdays when the company came out with some acknowledgments, and then Sunday some things happened there. I just gave a very layman's version of it. Talk to me about what you know and what happened. And
I did look at the beta operating company's response plan because I was curious. That's my thing, right? I was curious
because you actually understand how to read it.
But I mean, anybody can read it. It's a public document, and I was curious what their plan said versus just what the discussion was in the news. And so, this past weekend, something else has come out that's very interesting about that, in that it may be that pipeline was struck weeks earlier. There's some evidence from where it was dragged across the bottom of the bay that they think, like, that some vegetation has, like, grown back. And so that just makes this the whole thing murkier. And this entire situation, I'm sure, is going to be it's going to keep many lawyers employed for many years in the courts as they work it out. But, you know, in terms of emergency response, it is a question of the timeline, who was the first to know. And, you know, the beta operating company said they got a low pressure alarm at 2:30 in the morning. And their emergency plan says, you know, that they will do the following things in response. That's what I'm always looking for. It's like, okay, well, it says upon detection of a leak. So we're going to find they low pressure alarm, which I guess they could attribute to other things, such as just like as being the actual leak detection, or whether they went out there and looked and yes, there was oil. And so that was at 6 in the morning. So this brings up actually a very interesting thing about emergency response, if you just want to talk about that in general. I have seen so many detailed plans.
Your phone broke up after detailed. Detailed what?
Plans.
Detailed plans, okay.
Yeah. Is that there has to be, you know, for lack of a better term, right, a trigger point. And you need to say that, you need to think about that and state that in advance, because you'll be accountable for that. When do you pull the trigger on your plan? And I don't know. I don't know how it will come out, but they have some risk exposure there. They may not have pulled the trigger when they should. They may be quibbling about their definition of leak detection versus the state of California's definition of leak detection.
Sure. Knowing when to pull the trigger, knowing when to execute and implement the plan is a great suggestion. The question I was going to ask you, you know, just what are some advice or some things that you took away that a lot of the business owners or CEOs should probably know from this? Because whether they're directly involved with this or not, doesn't mean that they don't have an emergency response plan of their own. Many people that are in the oil and gas industry, of course, they have an emergency response plan. And whenever I see these spills or refinery fires or a number of different things, all I can think of is, you know, now is the time to educate. Now is the time to remind people when to pull the trigger and when to revisit these types of things. Like I said, we come from a flood community where we're constantly reminded to revisit things. And part of that is there's two different parts. You're right. There's the pre and the post. I mean, the during, I mean, so what other things did you see that CEOs, business owners, people in that supply chain, or just the operator should be aware of?
Well, if you, if I pull the trigger in particular with the beta operating company and Amplify Energy, it's a question of when did they actually shut down the pipeline? And that, first off, it's funny that you keep evoking floods. Now, I know what you mean, because here in Western New York, right, we are constantly being thumped by abrupt snowstorms that shut down our transportation network. And so it's the same thing. We're forced to constantly revisit our plans. But your vulnerabilities are in the quiet things that operate all the time, like pipelines safely tucked underneath the sea, right? That's where, like, we might, things like this can crop up, in that nobody wants to shut down the pipeline if they think that it's just a glitch, but actually, hindsight's 20/20. It's more important to do that than to run the risk of it was a leak and you are seen as delaying. But at any rate, I don't know if you were talking, we were talking before you started recording, right, about the source of harm to the pipeline, probably.
Go ahead.
But we also, all the rest of us, we also, and I catch myself at this too, we add to the problem, in that good emergency decision makers, good incident commanders, if you want to use the federal lingo, they make a decision, because a decision needs to be made. They do not hesitate to then completely reverse themselves later if it turns out there's more information now and, like, that's not going to work. They don't worry for one instance about, oh, people are going to think that I'm a bad decision maker, right? People are going to point at that where I was wrong. There's no wrong in that sense. Well, they know that because they do this professionally and they do this all the time, but we still pick at people like that, right? Why did you waste all your time, right, digging that line over there when you can go gaze? You were singing my praise, singing a magic.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. Have a question, know an expert, or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com.
Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep. A good sleep for only $19.98 regularly. $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running.
All right, joining us on our Zoom line. I usually say phone line, but actually this is our Zoom hotline here, news line, and we've got Mr. Joe Sinnott with Whitting Partners. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing all right, Jason. Happy to be here.
Whitting Partners, that's correct, right? I almost said Whiting Partners because we just did a story on Whiting Petroleum last week, so that's fresh in my mind, but it's W-I-T-T-I-N-G, Whitting Partners. And we like to bring in Joe to talk a little bit about sustainable leadership because right now with the energy transition, of course, a lot of either boardrooms are changing leadership in. There's all kinds of examples out there. We've even got shareholders being changed in the, you know, the, was it Exxon or I forget, I think it was Exxon who had the shareholder shakeup, if you will. And then you've got some people just going through kind of a re-education training and different sessions where they're, you know, whether it be diversity training or it'd be inclusion training or sustainability. Of course, we got the buzzword ESG, which everybody seems to be talking about these days. So we bring in Joe to talk about sustainable leadership. And is that a term that you and I coined, or is that a term that you coined, or how did that, you know, because we use sustainable in so many different things. You know, we've got sustainable marketing programs we're doing with the industrial forest and this and that. So you know, talk to me a little bit about sustainable leadership and, you know, why that's an important term people should know. But first, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jason. I always enjoy a visit to the Crude Life, of course.
So let's talk about sustainable leadership. Quick definition for people before we get into this BBC article.
Yeah, so sustainable leadership is the ability to keep moving forward towards some ultimate objective for you, your team, your organization, and avoiding the things that could derail you and limit your odds of long-term success. So that's it. It's the ability to keep moving forward as a leader, in layman's terms. As far as whether or not you or I coined this, unfortunately, no. I don't think we can claim the trademark on sustainable leadership. It is a concept that has been out there. But certainly when I transitioned from my years in more traditional oil and gas roles into this world of leadership coaching and executive coaching, playing off that often vague word sustainability and focusing on leaders within the energy industry made a lot of sense. So I've embraced it. That's the world I'm in. And again, always happy to be here and chat with you about, you know, what that means practically for leaders in our industry.
Let's transition or switch over to the BBC article that I got emailed to me via whatever newsletter or website I'm involved with a number of different deals and things. And of course, I was a correspondent for the BBC during the DAPL protest. They reached out to me and I was part of their international news program as a correspondent. So it caught my eye, but it's a topic I've heard over and over and over again for the last 10 years and probably even longer than that. So it was interesting that somebody put it into text, into an article, into a journalistic format, and it's about how narcissists have just flourished over the last 10 years in corporate America, becoming promoted and everything. And of course, now we've got a movement kind of away from the traditional narcissistic, you know, the Wall Street greed is good type of a corporate, you know, Americana mentality that kind of took over. Talk to me a little bit about your reactions about this article and, you know, some of the claims and, you know, that sort of thing, whether narcissists are finding it easy to succeed in corporate America and et cetera.
Well, in reading through the article, I think it's important to note that, yes, I agree with the findings, the study they did, which is the correlation between narcissism and narcissistic leaders and the promotion of those leaders is real. And but at the same time, I think it makes sense because many people might associate narcissism with a degree of confidence, sometimes overconfidence or confidence at the expense of everyone else. But, you know, there are obviously a lot of companies who are looking for confident leaders. So again, you know, at first glance, it's, well, you know, this isn't a surprise. You know, narcissism can go hand in hand and, you know, without going down the path of all the negative aspects and results of narcissism, you know, let's acknowledge that, yeah, narcissism, confidence go together. And, you know, they often, again, are correlated to one of the most common things that companies are looking for in their leaders, which is executive presence. It can be a very vague term at times, but again, executive presence often is related to confidence, and confidence is often related to narcissism. So, so at a very high level, looking at the headline, reading through the article, there wasn't any surprises, but kind of like you said, it's nice to see it in writing so that we can have a conversation like this. And so that, individuals who may have these tendencies or individuals at organizations who are working with or looking at narcissistic leaders also have a framework of how to deal with it and how to still continue moving forward in a sustainable manner, even when you're surrounded by a culture at times of narcissism.
Interesting when you kind of think of the Me Too trigger and even, some of the sex trafficking down in some of the different areas and just some of the different things that, whether it be emotional abuse or sexism abuse or those types of stereotypes that come into a narcissist, which is really the dark side of a narcissist. I found it really interesting that the article even got into that. They kind of approached it more from the, sexism side with the recruitment, different things. But to me, of course, my mind went right away to that that emotional abuse that a narcissist can bring into a relationship. Then, of course, Joe, as well as I do, that of course spills into a toxic work environment. So whether it's we're talking about a 1-degree narcissist or a 10-degree narcissist, at the end of the day, it does bleed into a toxic workplace. Is that fair to say?
It is. Regardless of what the source of the narcissism is, the reality is that narcissistic tendencies are going to trickle down. And I think, again, the article hit on that, right? When you have an individual narcissist, especially at the top of a company, now other individuals are going to, emulate it, whether they even intend to or not. That's the culture. That's how people are going to be rewarded. That's how people are going to move up. And, what are you talking about when one narcissist infiltrates everybody else? It's culture, just like you said. And, the other thing I think you hit on is, again, the root of narcissism can come from different places. It could come from, some trauma. I think the article may have referenced, understanding, okay, why is this person a narcissist? We can talk about that too, because that also matters. While, again, the root of it, you're going to have bad results no matter what. It also can matter in terms of how you deal with it. What is the root of that narcissism? Is it truly somebody who, has self-doubt and, actually has confidence issues and even so far as fear and self-loathing? Or is it the other type of narcissist, which is more, to borrow from some of the organizational and industrial psychology papers and such, psychopaths, right?
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com.
I'll see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because who could love somebody like you? They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be a hold, nothing you could do make me.
Hey folks, Jason speaks with The Crude Life, and you've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Well, Mike has another fabulous offer for each and every one of the listeners out there on his standard MyPillow. You'll receive a standard MyPillow regularly $69.98 now for only $19.98. That's less than $20. This holiday season, give the gift of sleep, a good sleep, for only $19.98 regularly $69.98. That's $70 down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and receive Mike's standard MyPillow for just $19.98. Or call 1-800-598-4268 and use the promo code Otis. That's a $70 pillow down to $20. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.